This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Welcome to our Iowa Total Care call with representatives from Iowa Total Care. Looks like we have Jeannie on the line with us so far. Jeannie, are you expecting anyone else to join you this morning?
Yes, I'm expecting Tony, Wietrich, Diane, DiPecci from our UM Utilization Department, David Gay, and Hillary Roach.
All right.
And David is here as well.
Okay. I think Tony, I see some of the others on there too. They just are muted at this moment in time, which is okay.
Okay, great.
So I'll just start this like I normally do. I'll usually give a couple updates on any informational letters that have come out within the last month that are pertinent to our providers here. And I think the main one is actually one that came out here at the end of June. And I'm going to throw this on the share screen here so everyone can see it. It is the COVID relief rate payments. It's an add-on payment for SNFs. There's a lot of detail or information within this letter talking about who would qualify for this added. It's a $300 per day Medicare or Medicaid members added to your Medicaid rate, and it would be for people who don't have a another payer source. Like, so from my understanding, a lot of people who actually have COVID or who are treating for COVID are typically a Medicare beneficiary as well. And most often, or oftentimes, once they are in isolation, are switched over to Medicare to cover those stays. And so this would be for those individuals who likely do not have a skilled payer source or has not been deemed covered by skilled care to cover their COVID isolation skilled stay. So there's a lot of questions still that result from this informational letter that we have. I don't know that if the managed care organizations, if Iowa Total Care for this call has any additional details on it at this point or any specifics on how to bill those claims. So we can get into that here in a little bit, maybe at the end after we get through our questions. But this is out there. It is informational letter 2146. We plan on talking about it more on our Tuesday call next week, our Tuesday COVID call. I also have a meeting with the department tomorrow to ask some additional questions about this. But could be very helpful for those who only have Medicaid as a payer to help offset some of the added costs for our SNF and nursing facility providers to help with some of those added costs. So very helpful. But that's kind of the main or really the only informational letter that I saw or that has come through that was of greater importance than over this last month here. But I'm going to turn it over to Jeannie or anyone at Iowa Total Care. If you guys have any opening remarks or any comments you'd like to make about what's gone on in this last month for you guys, or you know, kind of open floor for you if you have any comments before we get into some of the questions.
Sure, Brandon. This is Jeannie. Thank you for inviting the Iowa Total Care folks to your call. We appreciate the opportunity to talk every month and help in any resolution or clarification of any opportunities that become available. Want to ensure that you know that every week on Friday, our configuration file is updated, and that is the up-to-date most information that you can see on our website. If you haven't signed up for alerts, please do so. That will pop up most every time that you go out to our website. So if you haven't, please do. It is an opportunity for any notifications that would be coming your way. And I know that we have Di coming, and she is just on the call. So I think the gang's all here, Brandon.
Perfect. So we can get into some some of these questions here, and I know this first one is in regards to UM, so that's probably why you mentioned die here. So the first question that we had submitted ahead of time is, it's a question on when we're submitting our authorizations, a lot of times, and this one is specific to home healthcare. It says, is it possible to speak to a UM nurse who has done a review of our authorization for home healthcare if we have any questions about what their review has decided? It says oftentimes their names are listed on the auth, but we don't have a way to contact them to maybe provide additional details or have a discussion with them. So, Di, do you have a response to that or some follow-up details for our members on that?
Hi, can everyone hear me?
We can.
I think I was triple muted. My phone, the app, and then I had the star six too. So sorry about that.
No worries. So
if there are questions about an op, you can call into the UM department. We don't give direct lines to anyone because then if that person is off for the day or something, then you have no one to reach. So call into the main ITC number and do the selections to get to UM. And then the referral specialists answer the calls. And if there's someone available at the time, they'll transfer you to one of the home care team nurses, which we have a small group of nurses who specializes in home care. So it might not be the person whose name is on your auth, but they all put good documentation in the record. So anyone from the home care team should be able to help you. If no one is available at that moment for a transfer call, they'll take your contact information and give it to a supervisor of prior auth who will ensure that someone gets back to you to either find out what your questions are. It depends on the message you leave. Sometimes we call to see what the questions are. And if it requires some research, we might have to call back, or else we can just call in and deal with the questions that are presented.
Awesome. Thanks, Di.
Mm-hmm.
This next question, and I actually had several questions this week surrounding Part B coinsurance or crossover claims. This one specifically is Part B crossover claims, or this provider is having some Part B crossover claims that are paying in 90% of the Medicaid fee schedule on some lines, and then some lines pay 100 of that fee schedule. Sometimes one unit will pay at a rate, and then the second unit will pay at a different rate, and it's just it's difficult to be able to track, I suppose, and it's not consistent in allowing us to be able to determine, you know, any kind of a cause for some of these different rates. Is there any known issues on Part B crossover claims right now, and when those will begin to process correctly? This is Part B again.
So we're going to make sure that Hillary is off of mute here, Brandon.
Okay.
So give us just a second just to make sure.
That's fine. I can try to find her too.
Sorry, this is Hillary. Can you guys
hear
me now?
We can.
I was also triple muted. So what I was saying was as part of the therapy units, there's a multiple therapy reduction where the first unit pays at 100% per the IL letter, and then all other units on the same claim pay at 90% or on the same day of service pay at 90%. So that's what's set up in our system. So it does that reduction automatically per the IL letter. So, and if you'd like, I can look up the IL letter and send that over to you later, Brandon.
Yeah, that would be great. I am not remembering that, I suppose, but obviously if there's one that's out there that is addressing that, then that would be a good documentation for us to have so we can understand what's going on and set up anything in our systems that need to be changed or addressed.
Yeah, I will have that sent over to you later today.
Okay. Thanks, Hillary.
Welcome.
But so there should be, so just kind of as a follow-up to that, because I know we had some discussion on this last month, and it was kind of tabled regarding if Medicaid, and then you guys as the MCOs are handling the Medicaid benefit as secondary payers are still paying for Medicare Part B coinsurance and deductibles or not on these crossover claims. And I know that there were some, felt like there was some informational letter a while ago that made it more difficult or made it less likely that you would actually be getting a payment on some of these. I think this specific question, I want to say it's on nursing facility side, but it sounds like, and maybe this information letter, once you send it out, Hillary, might provide a little bit more clarity as to what's covered and what's not covered. Would that be accurate, you think?
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will cover some of that as to what's covered and what's not. And if it doesn't have a complete information, I'll try to find you the rest from IME's website.
Okay. Thanks, Lori.
You're welcome.
The second or the third question, I guess, and this for those submitted ahead of time was, it's on Part A. There's providers struggling getting claims to cross over to Iowa Total Care at all. And I think in most instances, when we're getting them to cross over, we just mostly need either a payment at zero or something showing that it crossed over to you, because most times we're not expecting a payment on the Part A coinsurance side if Medicaid is the secondary. But we need to show that it's been submitted so that way we can put it on our cost reports as bad debt from Part A. And if they're having difficulties getting it to be received by Iowa Total Care, is this something that on the Part A's crossover claims that Iowa Total Care is aware of as a known issue or having troubles getting claims to you?
Do you know, or do you happen to know if it's rejecting the claims, or is it just not, you're just not getting a remit on those?
I think it's rejecting.
Okay, we are working right now with our EDI team on a couple of rejects for Medicare crossover claims. We haven't gotten a complete response yet, but we're expecting one this week. So we can update you as soon as we find out from them what's happening when they make it to EDI and what's causing them to reject at the front end. But we are expecting more information from them, because that's kind of a part that we don't see either within, you know, the people who are working in Iowa. So we are working with our corporate team to find out an answer to that and figure out why they're rejecting.
Okay, that would be great. Yeah, I think it's a rejection. I don't know if whoever submitted that question has a follow-up that they'd like to put into the chat. You guys could definitely do that. But so the last question that I have submitted ahead of time anyways, and I think I've received an answer on this, but just so everyone on the call can hear it, I guess, from you guys, is we're having agencies who are providing home health care. And then at the start of care, they get, there's like four visits that can be provided without requiring an authorization. And that's in instances where a previous agency maybe hasn't already used those visits within the year. And so what's the best case, or what should a provider do? And I think we've had some discussions on this about what should they do to ensure that the previous four visits haven't already been used by another agency, or what's the best practice for an agency to do in this case?
So in this case, so what we tell agencies is ask the member and make a note in your, you know, as part of your admission, ask them if they've had home care in the last year. If you later find out that they did have home care visits, you can send in the retro request and you'll have that note and just put unaware a member had used previous visits. Unfortunately, calling UM doesn't even always solve finding that out, because if the other agency only used those four visits, we wouldn't have built an auth. And, you know, it's hard to know when the claim would have hit. So it's possible that both you and Iowa Total Care would be unaware that the member had other visits if the other agency hasn't billed for them yet. So just do your best, ask the member if they say no and you provide the services and then you later find out that there's issues, just send us that information and we'll do a retro approval for them.
Awesome. Thanks, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the questions that you guys have received ahead of time. I have a couple others that have come in through email to me, or there might be a couple in the chat here too. So if you don't mind, we can maybe ask some of those quick here. This first one is, and it might be also for you, Di. This is a home health agency that they've been having some difficulties getting PRN visits covered. And the reason being they're not submitted prior to the service's start date. This was a retroactive mm-hmm. administrative denial that they received. What's the best route for them to get those PRN visits covered?
So there's kind of two pieces to this. So if they're PRN visits in an existing authorization, so we already approved, I don't know, four visits and they needed to add another one or two, then they need to send that information in along with some sort of provider order or something that indicates why the visits were added, and then we will look at them. Now, if it's all retro, so if there wasn't an existing authorization in place, then it would be denial. So kind of the differentiation is, do you already have an existing plan of care that's authorized and you're just adding some PRN versus you have nothing that's authorized and then you want a retro PRN? Does that make sense?
I think so. I mean, it makes sense that if there would be different ways to handle it if you have an auth already and if you don't have an auth at all yet. So I think that that should help. Oops, some clarification. We have a couple things in the chat here. And this is on third-party liability claims. And it's asking what the procedure is for sending in those TPL claims. Do you need the primary EOB? And if so, how do we get that to you? Is that something that can be done through the website? I don't know if this is a Hillary question or.
I think it's both me and PR. I believe there's a spot to submit that or attach that, the primary EOB, in the portal. And PR, can you correct me if I'm wrong? Everyone's muted.
No, you're correct. We would, preferred method would be the portal with that information, Hillary, yes.
Okay. Comments on informational letters, and then I do have one comment in here from a provider. I don't know if you guys can see the chat or not. I assume you can. Explaining the Part A crossover claims when those are trying to be submitted, what kind of denial reasons they're receiving. I won't read all of that back to you, but I suppose that that would be information that you would know. It's returned as unprocessable, been rejected. So I guess, I don't know if that is actually giving you a code or not.
Yes. So one of the rejection reasons that I'm seeing is the invalid procedure code. And I know that sometimes the HIPS code that you guys put on your Medicare claims is crossing over into the procedure code box on our side and causing a rejection. That's one of the things that we're working with our EDI team on to figure out why that's happening and how we can stop it from happening so those claims don't reject.
Okay. This provider, home health agency, saying many home health claims since July denied due to glitches in their system. I'm assuming this is probably July of last year when you started. Most of their claims have since been adjusted appropriately, except for a handful, about six. Will there be any additional sweeps of claims to try to catch any of the remaining errors, or should they dispute those six claims?
we will be doing another sweep on home health just to make sure we caught everything. I would say to wait until after that before sending your provider rep that information, because those will be picked up in that second sweep, hopefully. If they aren't, then obviously send it to your provider rep and we can get those adjusted for you.
When do you think that sweep will be occurring, just so they kind of have an idea of when they need to be reaching out again?
Yeah, so that sweep, the project is going in, I believe, on the 10th, and then it's going to take about 3 weeks to process. So I would say beginning after the first week of August for sure, reach out to your rep and let them know if you have any claims that still haven't been adjusted.
Okay. Perfect. Looks like another confirmation of the same rejection codes on Medicare Part A crossovers. There are providers that are still having some problems with the visits paying at $12.34. That was something that we flagged, I think, last month at least, about units. And I was thinking that the response was that that had been fixed as an ongoing basis. What would be the correct path for a provider who maybe has not seen theirs fixed on an ongoing basis and they continue to receive those?
If you haven't seen it be fixed, or if your claims are still paying out like that, send that to your provider rep so that we can take a look at it. I do know that the system fix went in, I believe, before last call. I can't remember exactly when the call was, but and there is a project in right now for that about a week's worth of claims that impacted. But if you are still seeing it, please let us know so we can look at it and make sure there's not some other system error going on.
Okay. I think another person who's maybe reached out to their provider specialist. Jeannie, what do you think, or Jeannie or Tony or either one of you in PR, is the best route for them if they've made outreaches and haven't gotten a response? I know we've probably talked about this before, but what should be a proper wait time before they try to escalate an issue?
Well, that technically, in terms of folks getting back to them, mm-hmm. it's our thought that within 48 business hours, that once they've been contacted, that they will respond. And then they will assess the situation and then submit the information into our claims intake. And that can take 30 days or so. So they are welcome to contact the representatives back to see if any information, but I can guarantee you that if they've gotten a response back, they want to finalize that because that is part of their protocols and they get reviewed on that. So as soon as they get answers back, they do respond, but folks are welcome to submit or contact the provider reps for a status. They may not have an update as they are waiting for information from our claims folks. Does that help?
I think so. This next question in the chat here is, it's on hospice room and board claims. They had those claims taken back in June of 20. On their remits, they're now sitting in pending in Iowa Total Care System, saying they're being looked at, or they realize they're being looked at manually. Is there any timeline on hospice room and board claims on when those will be reprocessed and paid?
Yes, so for the pending claims, we have submitted several macros lately, which basically we send it to the claim shop to make sure that it has the accurate pricing and everything to go back through the system and pay out. I do know that they are working through those macros right now, so I would expect payment within the next week or two for sure. So it's not technically a project, it's just that they were pending in the system and we have to override that pen code to get it pushed through the system. So it goes through a similar process to the project where it goes to the claim shop in Missouri and then goes out into the check run. So they are processing those right now. And so you should start to see payments next week into the following week.
Okay. This next question, we still have not seen our claims reprocessed from 7/19 going forward for the rate issue. They've reached out to their rep several times. They have not received a response. Is this claim sweep completed? I guess, Leilani, I'm not sure if your home health or if your SNF provider both would have had 7 of 19 rate changes. I guess I'm not sure that that would change the answer to this question, though. It sounds like those sweeps have been completed except for this is SNF. It sounds like
there's the home health sweep that's going in now. It is, yeah. SNF.
So this was SNF. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like they've received some but not all. What should they do if they've received some of their rebates, retroactive rebates? I've heard of a couple of providers who have just gotten like 2 months of the six that they've had paid. So I don't know if there's okay. How they should flag that or what's the best route for them to flag if they've only gotten a couple months worth of those payments.
Right. The excuse me, the project we submitted was for the 6 months. But I will go back and take a look at those and make sure that there isn't some pending or some other reason that they're held up. Mm-hmm. And to ensure that we don't need to do a sweep. If they're pending, I'll push them out and get you guys your payments. If I find some that have to go back through the project process, then we'll of course go ahead and submit that as well. And it would be about the same time frame as the home health one.
Okay. Is there information that you would need from a provider that would allow you to look at theirs specifically? They know that they have some outstanding that they could send me and I could pass along to you, maybe not through the chat?
Yeah, if we could just get the provider name and if there's a specific NPI they're concerned about, that would be helpful too.
Okay, so any provider, and this, I know we're talking about Leilani's question here, but any provider who does still have those, we're talking the SNF retroactive rebase claims right now, that has those outstanding still, send me your facility name and NPI, and we can pass those along to Iowa Total Care just for a double check or a check to see where that is sitting, I suppose, at this point. Comment here about Part A, and with some that have submitted Part A crossovers and actually getting paid for them or overpaid for them, should they, the question I suppose is, if they're submitting crossovers on the website and they're being overpaid for those, would best, should they not be submitting anything for Part A crossover claims at this point, so that way they don't get overpaid?
I think that we have to kind of wait for the answer from our EDI team to find out what's happening on that end. Because if there's a way that we can pull your claims in from the reject status, then that would probably be preferable. But if you can send the claim examples of where you're getting overpaid to your provider rep, we can take a look at those for sure, and or to Brandon or to you. We can take a look at those and find out why it's not being flagged as being a Medicare crossover claim and take a look at that.
Thanks, Hillary. Mm-hmm. Flipping through the chats here. So a question here is also on the retroactive rebase, that they've submitted some corrected claims on stuff back to 7 of 19. Some resulted in being double paid or getting paid a second time. They were told that these would be reprocessed to recoup. Is there a date that this will happen, or do they need to reach out to their rep to have those claims recoup themselves?
So we do regular duplicate sweeps where we look for claims that have been paid more than once and then submit them for recoupment, and then you would receive a letter as well. If you're looking to have them prioritized, then of course send your representative that information so that we can make sure that they make it into the next one that goes in.
Okay, looking through my questions here, I don't see any more in the chat box. I'll give you guys a couple more minutes to send them through the chat. Oh, maybe we can talk about that, the informational letter. I'm hoping that you guys are aware, I suppose, of that program or that COVID-19 rate add-on program for SNFs and nursing facilities. I know one question that I've had, and Hillary, you might be able to answer this, is what's the best way for them to submit that claim to you guys? Because it's obviously going to need to be a correction, because they've been, in many instances, they've been paid for those, a lot of those cases, if they were back to March, you know. They'll need to submit a corrected claim, which I think is the 217 bill type. But how do they... They're supposed to put a DR, disaster-related code, on there. But I assume it will be for a short period, like maybe even a 14-day span, possibly in the middle of the month. What's the best way for that to be reflected on a claim for Iowa Total Care? So that way we only bill for that enhanced rate for that specific period of time where they were COVID. And you may not have an answer for that at this point, but I just wanted to throw that out there and see if you had any thoughts on it.
I don't have a total answer for that yet. I guess what I'm thinking is that if you submit a corrected claim, being able to break out those days into a separate claim line with that code on it would be probably the easiest way to do it. So we can make sure that it's just those that get that additional amount of money. But I am going to take that back and make sure that that is how our system can handle it. So I will have to give you more feedback on that sometime this week, hopefully.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. We are going to meet with the department to ask some of these questions of them. There's just a whole bunch of them. Obviously, there's questions about when is this applicable? Is it only for COVID positive, or is it people who were treating as COVID positive?
Right.
When does it end? Does it end after a second negative test? Does it end after we move them out of isolation? Does it end when they're no longer receiving skilled care? There's just a whole bunch of them out there. And does it apply to hospice claims if they're Medicaid hospice and on COVID? So,
right. I think we have some of the same questions.
I'm sure you do. So I guess FYI to those on the call, those SNF members on the call, we are asking those questions, or we're going to ask those questions here soon and hopefully receive some responses on them. I've received several questions from several members, many with the same questions, but so we do plan to go over those. I don't see any other questions in the chat here or in my email. I do have a provider who's given me NPIs that they, if you could look at, Hillary, we can send that over to you guys, or I can forward that over to you. But as of right now, that's all I have for questions, unless you guys have any other additional comments or anything that you'd like to make before we wrap it up here.
I think we're good, Brandon. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate your willingness to continue to join us on these calls. And since we're wrapping up quite a bit early before our next call, I'll probably just shut it down, and then we'll start back up here at 11:30 with Amerigroup. So thanks again to our Iowa Total Care reps for joining us today, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again on this call in a month.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
Thank you.